Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This show is brought to you in association with Ladbrokes for all your betting needs. With a new site design and great prices, it's our preferred bookie. New members can get a free match bet up to £50 when you sign up and use the code LAD50. Check on site for details at ladbrokes.com.
The minute he walks in the door, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are around the world. Greetings and welcome to the Manchester United Redcast. My name's Eddie Iniesta and I'm back from Spain. In fact, I've been to three countries very I've missed you. Yeah, I'm not going to boast. I'm not going to tell you about climbing a mountain or being on... I'm not going to boast because I'm not that kind of guy. But I am back. I don't know where Robert Meakin or Dave is, but I'm very happy to tell you that a man is here with me, with his girlfriend waiting in a booth on her birthday, protected by 16 bodyguards. Mr. Vanderpump, thank you very much for being here with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
And it's a good time to be here, actually, because, you know, that game over the weekend was like the Manchester United of, I mean, with the excitement. So going 3-1 up and then them scoring and then you're having the dodgy last few minutes. It was like a Manchester United game of old, wasn't it?
It was incredible. It was so uplifting and it made me feel like we're back and we're going to win the Premiership.
I mean, look, let's not get carried away. We're going to do that. We'll make our predictions
City,
and all
City,
of that.
City failed.
Well, City being beat by West Ham. That would be an interesting game when that game comes up against West Ham because they're playing very differently. And they were always a team that were compared to us, but they were like Christmas decorations after Christmas. They came down. They've always been a good pace. But for Manchester United, it seemed to me that Man United, with the squad that he has, starting to make some waves. What do you reckon?
I think if we can shore up a defence, we're looking amazing. That was the only thing I had that I could complain about at the weekend.
You say shore up the defence, but De Gea is back and he's certainly already proved his worth, hasn't he?
Of course he has, but we don't want to be depending on him too much.
Yeah, but I mean, any team that does well in the Premiership is going to need a world-class goalkeeper, and he has definitely proved a couple of remarkable saves.
But he shouldn't have had to make them.
They've got to get past 10 people before they get to the goalkeeper, mate. I mean, if we're going to do cliches, I'll give you one. They've got to get past a lot of people before they get to the goalkeeper. The rumour is, and I work from the back to the front, the rumour is he is thinking of considering looking at a new contract. Do you think there's any chance we could keep him?
I thought he'd signed one.
Well, when I last heard, it wasn't 100%. I mean, even though you think it's 100%?
I thought maybe while you were up the mountain, it got signed.
Okay. Well, no, I was up the mountain in July, and he wasn't playing then. So will he stay long-term, or is he signed it for big money then, in terms of when Real Madrid come back?
He's staying. If he didn't go, he's staying. And he didn't go.
But he didn't not go because he didn't want to go. It was because of the fiddling around. You sort of get the feeling that if Real Madrid had really, really wanted him, they wouldn't have left it till 11:59.
I've written this stuff we don't know about this.
Like
somebody coming the other way.
You reckon?
If he went there.
Well, the idea was, wasn't it, that Ramos was going to come. But I get the feeling that Ramos played us in order to get a better contract at Real Madrid.
And then there was talk about Bale.
Yeah, and there was talk about Ronaldo as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, but he has got a contract now, proper one, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he's always had a proper contract. So in terms of the game, what were the bits that, you know, let's concentrate on the Southampton game. What were the things that you were really impressed by?
I just think we're gelling now. Everybody's communicating really well. There's some just amazing movement going on. And everybody seems to know where everybody should be, and they are there, and the ball's ending up in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, have we been lucky? I mean, we're the kind of supporters, aren't we? After two games, if we got two draws, we'd start saying, no, we don't like them. Manager, he doesn't know what he's doing. It is a very fragile existence.
No, I'm not like that. I'm definitely optimistic the whole time and always looking at the good part of it. I mean... I like the whole Valencia thing going down the right-hand side. And everybody's always going, oh, he's dreadful. But he's not. He's powerful. He's fast. He's strong. He can't kick the ball, but...
Yeah, I was worried. He made some interesting tackles as well, didn't he? Certainly gave away a free kick late in that game. That caused a few concerns.
But I admire his athleticism and the fact that he, you know, he draws people away from other people.
But he's a squad player now, isn't he? He's not first 11 anymore.
No, but we've been seeing a lot of him again. Mm. So. Mm.
Yeah. In terms of Ashley, what do you reckon? What do you reckon of him?
Well, he's got to raise his game. Obviously, with everything else going on that side, other people around, he's got to fight for his place, which is probably good.
And Fellaini played, you know, a move away from the Southampton game, certainly the Ipswich game. We're seeing him more as a number 10, seeing him as a striker. See, is he the kind of player we don't know where he goes? He's big, he's awkward, he gets in the way, he upsets the rivals. But actually, you know, he talk about ball play, technical ability and the like. Not really a Manchester United player.
I think if you're playing a big team, he's useful. So if your opposition has got bulk, why not play him? When we play Stoke, put him on.
Yeah, well, we could go and hire some of your bouncers from your club. You remember the first time you went to watch Manchester United?
Do I remember the first time? Ooh. Do you know where I was? At Arsenal. At the old stadium.
At the old stadium. At the Highbury. At the library, as they call it.
I was sitting next to Joey Musafia. It was a disc jockey.
Oh, right. Okay. Did he get the ticket?
Yeah, he's got season tickets.
Oh, right. So
he's an old friend of mine.
Yeah. So he got you in?
He got me in, sat me there, and I had to sit there and watch us beat Arsenal and keep quiet.
Every supporter has a story, I think, of watching their team in the wrong end of a stadium. How difficult, or rather how challenging, was that?
Somebody at one stage turned around to me and said, "You're a United supporter, aren't you?" And I was right in the middle of the Arsenal faithful. And I said, no, I'm a neutral.
I walked in, they picked me out. The stewards picked me out. The people I sat next to picked me out. And they just went, just so much stick. It's not something that is an enjoyable thing, I don't think.
I've been to Arsenal as well. I've been to Chelsea as well. And...
I watched it from the press box at Chelsea. That was great fun too.
Actually, I was just thinking, there was one before. Stefan Iversen used to give me his tickets at Tottenham. And I saw United there from his seat.
Well, that's where we used to just go and pick up the points. We didn't really need to play. He used to call it three-point lane, didn't they? Did we win the game?
I can't remember. I've got a feeling we might have lost it.
Yeah, well, I don't think we lose to them. Let's go back to PSV and talk about that game, because it wasn't so easy. I mean, we're laughing now, we're happy now, but that game, bad game for all sorts of reasons. Some pretty high profile, you know, from Andy Murray, even Christian Bell giving their commiserations. It was a bad, bad tackle on Luke Shaw, wasn't it?
Yeah, in so many ways. I mean, he was really working well for us. He'd really worked hard over the summer to get fit.
Yeah, he was a fat defender, and you got the feeling that he'd kind of put a lot of work in, 19 years old, and look what happens.
Yeah, and it could be career-ending, you know, That's
well, the rumour is it's going to be 6 months, but it's going to be a painful and a really tough 6 months. And I've always wondered when those sorts of things happen, whether A, they come back the same, B, they've got the... It must, psychologically, it must really challenge you.
I came off a motorbike once and snapped my leg in half. I could never get on a bike again. So it must be similar.
You really? You they say you've got to get back on straight away.
I couldn't. I mean, I can't do it again. I would not get on a motorbike ever again. Because the accident was so unexpected. Went over the handlebars, snapped my leg in half, and can't do it. So it must have an effect on a footballer when something like that happens. You're going to be... you're not going to go in for a tackle so hard, maybe, or you're going to be a little bit wary when somebody's coming towards you like a train. It's got to affect you.
Yeah, one imagines that as a 19-year-old, let's hope... I mean, I know that some managers are into sports psychology and some are not. I do hope that they sort of just take him... You don't imagine, do you, the big fella putting his arm around anybody and kind of giving them love and hugs and kisses, but it's probably what's needed here, right?
Yeah, you think Alex probably would have dealt with this better for him.
Well, we say that. I mean, look, I'm reading that, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson, our mad ex-manager, you know, one of the greatest there's ever been, is now releasing a book, so he's doing interviews now, on how to be a leader, how to talk to people and how to do things. And he says that he gives advice to young managers. This is the guy who, I don't know, what, 6-7 years didn't talk to the BBC because they did a documentary about his son. How... give me an idea about how that works, you know what I mean? If you peed him off, he just wouldn't talk to you, he wouldn't do anything. So I kind of... it's interesting him giving advice. But he had something, didn't he?
Of course he did.
Would it still... you do get the feeling that the game has moved on in a few years that he's been, in a couple of years he's been away. Would he still, if he'd stayed for 2 years, would we have had the beginning under Moyes and the beginning under the big fella that we've had? Because the players that he... think about it. The big-time players that Sir Alex left us with, you know, the investment, the Sahas, the whatever, they haven't really come off, have they?
I just felt Alex went at the time and he left us with nothing when he went. He flogged the team to death.
But what was... this is a team that had won, I think, by 11 points, if my memory serves, certainly double-digit points, had won the Premiership by double-digit points the year before. Hmm. He just invested 15 million in a winger, a prospect. We had one of the best goalkeepers, young, developing goalkeeper. And you're saying he left us with nothing?
Well, we've had to rebuild. I think, you know, I think David Moyes got a bad deal.
I don't get this whole rebuilding thing, you know, because I think it's... we had convinced... this is my opinion, and it'd be interesting to find out what people in the podcast think, that Manchester United, because they had a manager for so long, had convinced themselves that they were not like other teams. Mm. That we had convinced ourselves that we didn't chase the money. We didn't chase it. We didn't... of course, we'd bought for... Ferdinand for 30 million, we'd bought Rooney for 30 million. We'd made some big... but, you know, we'd also bought the youngsters up. We'd also developed the youngsters. So we didn't feel as though we were a Chelsea, a Man City, or the like. But the reality of the global game, you know, this is a game that I've watched, you know, while eating dinner in Thailand, you watch it in Spain. The Premiership is the biggest out of all of them. You get the feeling that the top four or five are going to spend their way out of trouble if they get themselves in trouble, because the big money from cable TV, from Sky, is always going to be there.
Well, let's look at the team now. There's not very much homegrown talent in it.
But that's my point.
But that's why I think the McNair thing coming through, that's lovely to see.
Yeah.
Because he's playing wonderful football.
He's playing lovely, but it just as heartbreaking to see somebody like Welbeck leave. But, you know...
I think I'd rather have the Martials and...
so you'd prefer to pay the, you know... and it could be up to £50 million for Martial at 90. I mean, don't get me wrong. 4 games, 4 goals. I mean, the guy... let's give him some time. Let's give him some props. He's been a rebel. He looks as though He just walked in and got. He reminds me of Cantona. There's a swagger about
him. Yeah. And he's relaxed.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's not tense. He's not like, oh, I've got to get rid of the ball. He's like, well, you know, I'm the man.
I've even forgotten the guy's name. That striker we had last year, the one that went off. what was his name? The Forlan impersonator.
Yeah, the striker we had last year was doing his impersonation for Chelsea, Mr. Falcao, who used to be. Just the most devastating striker in the world. I don't like celebrating failure, but it would have been really painful had Falcao gone and set the world alight at Chelsea, having not done it at Manchester United. And you do feel sorry for him. In the way that it was there, it isn't there anymore. You know, but certainly up front. And here was a guy, you know, Martial, who's not supposed to score that many goals. But at 19, I don't know how you make a decision like that. How impressed have you been with him?
Do you know what I think? We're going to have a problem with Depay. Because he was all over the place at the weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think he's like, hang on, I wanted that position. I wanted to be that.
Yeah.
So, but that could become a very interesting dynamic in the team.
Well, you've got to give people time. But certainly, I look at Memphis and I sometimes think of Nani. You know, flattering to deceive, got a lot of talent but not as much as they think they have. Do you see what I mean?
Nani had the talent but he didn't have the head to control it.
You think so? Well, I think he was a kind of, a down market Ronaldo, and certainly he plays in the same team. He's a Portuguese, and you get the feeling that he always felt that, you know, he's coming to, he could be as good, or, you know, and certainly I think that he suffered from that, but he did give us some magnificent performances, and if we can get some good ones from Memphis, I will certainly be very happy, and happy to hear that Rooney has finally scored some goals domestically. How do you think he's been performing, and is the weight of captaincy, it might be great for him that Martial has come to take some of the attention off him now.
I'd rather give the captaincy to somebody like Carrick and let
doesn't play enough games.
Well, or somebody in the midfield, and allow Rooney to do what he does best.
Well, I don't know. I'm interested in what you think the weight of the captaincy has taken away from his game.
We've had the best captain in the world with Roy Keane, but he's never going to do that job.
No. Well, but he sets a standard, isn't he? Roy Keane led by example.
Yep.
Wayne Rooney will do the same.
Mm-hmm. But he's just not performing so well as if he didn't have the burden of the captaincy. Yeah. That's what I think, anyway.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, once you take...
But maybe I'm looking for excuses for him. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he has had his day.
Yeah, that's the horrible thing, isn't he? 29 years old. Yeah. There's a story in the paper today. Alex Ferguson said that he wanted parity with Wayne Rooney. He wanted the same money as him. That's an awful lot of money. And it is difficult, isn't it, now? Because you've seen, certainly looking at the Capital One Cup, and you see some of the goals that some of the lesser players missed, and you think, well, if it was a big money player, he would have put that away. You pay your money, and you get what you pay for in many instances. That goal that Memphis Martial scored, his first goal, was just one that made you think, oh my goodness, if he scores a few more of those.
Was it at the Stretford end as well?
Oh. here's a guy. I mean, the game was already won, right?
Yeah.
So it didn't matter, but certainly the brace that he scored, and he scored another one. And it was great yesterday not to go out against a lesser team. Of course, we went out, didn't we? Was it Wimbledon Dons? We went out 4-0.
MK Dons, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. We went out 4-0. Oh, they were Wimbledon, weren't they? And they've gone to Milton Keynes, yeah, excuse me. And beating Ipswich. And I mean, Ipswich are a good team, aren't they? Certainly going to be up there or not far from promotion kind of candidates. So it's good.
It looked like a match that wasn't out of balance.
No. First goal that Rooney has scored in the Capital One Cup since 2010. Isn't that a remarkable statistic? And we saw the blooding of a new force.
What do you think of Pereira?
I didn't know him. I don't know him. I just thought, well, that's a lovely goal, isn't it? We could do with some of that. Who takes the free kicks for Man United now?
Well, what was that all about, though? Why was Mata letting him take the free kick?
Well, I don't know. You see, the thing that we always forget when we do this podcast is that they have something called training. And in drilling and in training, you know, you will see who's got it, who hasn't got it, who trains hard, who's got the mental aptitude, who takes their mickey, who's focused, who can do something with a ball when there's no pressure on, and who's the man when there is pressure on. Next goal, everybody gets, you know what I mean? You can see there are people who react to different things, aren't there?
I remember watching a match where when Forlan hadn't scored a goal yet and everybody was expecting him to be the guy that scored the goal.
Yeah, well, he didn't for Man United.
And we were 4-0 up against a team, I can't remember who we were playing, but we were 4-0 up and Van Nistelrooy goes, and the crowd starts shouting, we got a penalty. The crowd starts shouting, Forlan, Forlan, to take the penalty. And Van Nistelrooy goes, take the penalty, Diego. And Roy Keane comes running across the pitch and says, you are not taking that penalty. Yeah. And Rude had to take it.
That's right. And put it away.
And had to put it away, even though we were 4-0 up. And we have five, it was only 5 minutes to go. But Roy Keane was having none of it. Now, that's what surprised me about that penalty. And that Pereira was allowed to take it.
But a free kick.
Well, it was a free kick, sorry, yeah. But that's something new.
Well, I think, you know, as I say, what I heard from the big man was you take the penalties when you, there's a list of 5-6 penalty takers, whether it be Rooney, Mata, all of them there. If you miss one, you then go to the back, to the back,
right,
of the queue.
Okay.
And it's ruthless. You know, it's absolutely ruthless. So if you're listening to the podcast, wherever you are around the world, we want to know, what do you reckon then? Is this the dawning of a new age? You would have been happy with fourth place when we started the podcast, with Martial and De Gea being around now. Do you see us possibly, as we've just heard from Mother, do you see us possibly winning it? What do you make? Who are our opponents? Isn't it happy to see Chelsea in 15th place? Come on. You can get in touch. This is the Manchester United Redcast. All the links to our programs are on Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, and the apps. And as I say, the complete Redcast archives at unitedredcast.com. There's still time to join our Manchester United Redcast Dream Team League. Go to www.dreamteamfc.com. Register a team for free, then join our league by entering PIN. Get a pen. Here's the number. It is da-da-da. Here it is. Have you got a pen yet? Here it is. 8394900. That's 8394900. A signed shirt to a player picked out randomly, and lots of prizes throughout the season. Currently, Nick Tidy, well done, Nick, is top of our Redcast League with our very own Robert Meakin in 14th, 1-4 place, and me languishing in 34th place. That's not very good, is it? We've signed up with Ladbrokes to bring you some exclusive betting odds and offers that we've wrangled out of them for you. Follow the links on the description to the show or our Facebook page and Twitter feed. For starters, here's a free £50 bet when you sign up and enter the promo code LAD for Donkey 50. That's LAD for Donkey 50. So let's end this podcast so you can go to Hakkasan. Lovely restaurant, by the way. Absolutely lovely. Mine's the Berkshire pork. That's what I have when I go in there. You'll see that on there. Great Mrs. Nesta, as I say, thinks it's a Chinese takeaway. She goes in there and orders everything, and I get the bill and I close my eyes. So, upcoming games, Sunderland. Now, look, this is a kiss of death, I know. But I'm going to knock on wood and say they are having an absolute mare.
Yep.
I saw them against Tottenham, and you think Defoe would have put at least two or three of those away a couple of years ago, and he must be on, what, 80 grand? Of course, he's looking for a personal assistant at 60 grand a year, but that's a different gig. But they're having a nightmare, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So what's your prediction then? I like those.
I'm going to be optimistic. We're gelling. We're coming together. We're going to walk all over them.
Well, you don't beat Sunderland, who are right at the bottom of the... I mean, you know, Sunderland, Newcastle at the minute. Oh, dear.
They're desperate.
Horrible. They're having a horrible time. But the year up there is not very good anyway. And they've never been, those teams, never been as good as they think they are. I think we're going to whack them 3 or 4-0. What do you reckon?
Let's hope. Let's hope.
I know, I don't want that. You're sitting on the fence and you're going to get splinters.
It's going to be a big score.
Yes, I will want a big score. Get your money on there. Go to Ladbrokes, get your money on there. 3 or 4 nil. I don't fancy them to get not even one. So I've put it down. And like all the other podcasts on the archive, I'll probably look like an idiot at the end of it. Are you going? Have you booked already to go to any games this year? Certainly, I thought a lineup for, I think, the reverse game at Tottenham, Arsenal, and the West Ham one, I definitely need to get to. Have you lined up any games this year?
I haven't, but I have now a buddy who is actually an ex-footballer, and we just go to all sorts of matches last minute.
Oh, excellent.
Where was I? Charlton last week, which was very interesting to watch a different class of football.
Yeah.
But it will be last minute stuff, but it's fun.
Yeah, going to a football game is always fun. Wherever you are, I wish you the best. Come on, if you said something that's peed you off, something that you thought, oh, I've been thinking that, or something that you'd like the team up here to investigate, why don't you let us know at Manchester United? It's the Redcast. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. Mark, thank you very much, mate. Go off, enjoy your dinner, and have a great time with your girlfriend, you lucky so-and-so. My name's Eddie Nesta, and from us, it's only left to say, come on, you Reds.
Come on, you Reds.
This is a Playback Media production, served to you in association with Why Not Think People.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.